We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good evening, Chicago. It is so great to be with you again tonight. I am Hub Arkish. This is the Lawrence Holmes Show. It absolutely is. But Lawrence has been working during the day today, working middays along with Matt Spiegel and filling in for Danny Parkins, who's been out on his honeymoon. So I am back again tonight with you until 10 o'clock tonight. And we had a really good show planned for you. And then there was this baseball trade earlier today. So now we've planned a new really good show for you. So, you know, guys, when I come in, for obvious reasons, I guess, people tend to assume, kind of want to talk some football. And we are absolutely going to be willing to do that. But to plan to discuss anything tonight except for the trade today between the Cubs and the White Sox seems a bit of a stretch. We know there's a lot of you out there who have been at work all day and not necessarily had a chance maybe to listen or to call or to text. And so we are going to be covering Sox Cubs, Cubs Sox, whichever you prefer. We've got some great guests lined up for you. Brian Billick from Sox Future will be here at 6:20. Daryl Von Schauen, who covers the Sox for Sun-Times, will be here at 7:40. Our buddy Bruce Levine, our senior baseball expert here at The Score, will be with us at 9 o'clock. And also, both general managers, Jed Hoyer of the Cubs and Rick Hahn of the White Sox, had some extensive interviews today, visited with the guys. I believe Rick was here with Matt and with Lawrence in the midday show. And then a little later, early this afternoon, Jed Hoyer stopped by and visited with Jason and Dan Bernstein. So we're going to play those two interviews for you in their entirety. We are going to cover this trade every single way we can. And in between, we're going to take your phone calls, 312-644-6767. As a matter of fact, if you want to start out with a quick opinion, we've got about 10, 15 minutes before we welcome our first guest in. So you can dial me up right now at 312-644-6767. You can also text us, of course, at 67011. On our text line in the Grossinger Auto Group text zone, where you find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. I'm always fascinated by the text line. I've already got my first text here. It says, "Hub, you're an idiot," with 4 exclamation points, OMG. And I haven't been on the air yet, so I'm not sure what I did for that one. But I'm off to a great start with the text line. So, guys, hopefully you have something a little more positive to add than that. But please text us. As a matter of fact, another one here. That's just a nice compliment. I'm not going to bother with that. I thought maybe there was a point here. Let's get to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. I want you guys to burn them up tonight. And we want to hear all points of view, White Sox fans, Cubs fans, positive, negative, whichever team you like. We're going to be getting you guys in all night long. And I'm really looking forward to visiting with you, because to me, this is a fascinating one. I am finding it really, really difficult to say anything that isn't positive about both teams. I can't quite see how this isn't a win-win. I think it's a 100% clear win for the White Sox. I believe it's a win for the Cubs. I mentioned in talking to Dan and Jason in our transition a little bit now, I hated to see Eloy Jimenez go. I think that's great for the Sox. You wonder if maybe a player on the major league roster might have fit better. My guess is that Rick Hahn wasn't willing to make that deal, and that's why it got done this way. But we're going to talk to you guys about it and see what you think. 312-644-6767. Tommy out in Villa Park was first. Tommy, thanks for dialing us up. What do you think? Who won? Did anybody win? Who do you like? Which side did better?
Hub, you are spot on, as always. Both teams won. Quintana has the propensity to throw a lot of innings, a burly kind of guy. He's always going to be there. He's a good team fit. The Cubs definitely get a very, very fine young man. On the Sox, they picked up 4 or 5 people that will be part of the White Sox next World Series champions. At least one of those players, I think Jimenez will be. What do you think, Hub?
Well, I'm with you most of the way. I'm not sure that Matt Rose, or is it Tommy Flatte, if I got that right? I know that we've been kicking the pronunciation around all day. Yeah, I'm not sure if those two kids ever become factors. But, you know, Eloy Jimenez is one of the top 10 prospects in Major League Baseball. Dylan Cease, the best arm in the Cubs system. Those guys figure to show up eventually and have a chance to make a difference. And as you say, for the Cubs, they got exactly what they've been looking for, controllable pitching for the next 3.5 years and a really dependable, outstanding pitcher. And I have continued to say, and nobody else seems to focus on this, but when I get everything I want in pitching, there's one more thing. All things being equal, I'll take a lefty over a righty because the lefties are harder to find. And so, Tom, I think that both teams won here. And isn't it great when you can see something like that happen, particularly when they're both in your city?
It doesn't happen, and in the same city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call, Hob.
Tommy, thanks for calling. We got the phone lines jammed. Herb Lawrence and Tony Gill, as always, were right. They said everybody's still going to want to talk baseball. I was concerned by a little caller fatigue, but apparently not. So keep dialing them up, guys. Next up in Milwaukee, it is James's turn. James, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good. What's on your mind?
Real quick, quick to my point, I think both teams came out on top on this trade. White Sox now for sure have probably one of the best, if not the best, farm team in the MLB, farming, you know, all the young players coming up. And as far as the Cubs go, they got a great pitcher. If it wasn't for Sale and the White Sox for as long as he's been there and then he got traded to the Red Sox, Quintana would have shined a heck of a lot brighter than, you know, what he did. Great ERA, great pitcher. Yes, he gobbles up a lot of innings, but a solid, solid pitcher for the Cubs. Good for them.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
I think you're right on, James. Thanks for the call. I think the point we would make, and it doesn't change anything I've said, I think it's a win-win. You are talking most likely more about he's a top of the rotation guy, but I think in fairness, you're talking more, at least to this point in his career, about a number two, not a number one. You know, Quintana is not going to challenge Lester for the top spot there. He wouldn't challenge the Arrieta we saw a year and a half ago. He's better than the Arrieta you've got right now. Absolutely what the Cubs were looking for, a great fit. We do have to be careful to point out that prospects are just that. They're prospects. And as great as the Sox system looks like right now, you have to remember that this is not, you don't bat 100% here. You're lucky when you bat 400 or 350. And so, you know, we don't know that as great a prospects as Jimenez and Cease are, that they're going to become great players. And with Quintana, let's not set the bar too high. Nobody's expecting him to come over to the North Side and win a Cy Young Award, but he certainly could be a significant contributor and a key piece to another World Series or two. Next up, it is Kevin out in Plainfield. Kevin, how you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
So I'm talking from a Cubs perspective here because I'm a Cubs fan, but there's a lot of reasons why I like this trade. So that one, you have a 5-year period here to 2021 where all these guys are signed. You got guaranteed to have them. So let's go win it now, right? Why do we want these prospects? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to have the prospects, but from Theo's point, I mean, we got this time now. We're lacking pitching. Let's go for a guy that could give us a lot of innings for a cheap price, you know. And then you also got to think, too, what's our biggest competitor in the NL? The L.A. Dodgers. Mm-hmm. The L.A. Dodgers can't hit lefties. So I wonder if that's something that he's thought about as well. Well, we can bring in a controllable lefty here for a few years to face a team like the Dodgers in the NL that can't hit lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you got to think, too, I mean, if Quintana's on our team, that means we don't have to play him. The Astros are looking at him. The Dodgers are even looking at him. So now that's a guy we don't have to face in the playoffs. So there's so many ways to look at this trade where, I mean, now we got a guy, you know, two lefties to start off our rotation against a team like the Dodgers and the Nats and stuff like that. But they got all these stud lefties. I don't know. I love the trade for that aspect. And he's cheap. You know, you're not going to find a guy with that kind of contract for 3-4 years that you can have for that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I love the trade. What do you think?
Well, I love it from both sides. I think both teams did well. I think that Han probably a little bit more than most people thought he was going to. I think the Cubs got exactly what they were looking for and could afford to give up what they gave up. You know, one thing that I haven't been able to listen to the station all day, but I'm not sure if anybody mentioned this. You also have to remember that Eloy Jimenez is being groomed to be a right fielder. And that after this year, you've got 5 more years of Jason Hayward at about $25-26 million a year.
There's all that Bryce Harper talk with him wanting to play with Chris. I mean, there's just so many.
What's interesting about the Harper? Yeah, and what's interesting about the Harper talk is that this is going to make the Cubs' salary situation a lot more pliable. I think Harper is probably going to be too expensive because you got to remember you got to pay Rizzo and Bryan again.
It's fun to talk about.
It's all fun. But you know, and the Hayward thing, I'm sure is going to set some folks off here because the hope is that Jimenez becomes a better player. You got to remember that Jason Hayward is a Gold Glove winner. Forgetting anything else he gives you at the plate, maybe at one of the two most important defensive positions on the field, you've got a Gold Glove winner. So minimally, you know, there was not a tremendous need for Eloy Jimenez, and so maybe if he becomes
there's so many options to have. If you like Schwarber out there, you got Schwarber, Almora, Hayward, and then you got Happ as a replacement for any time you need him.
I think it became
so much depth to the team,
Kevin. I think it became obvious to the Cubs, and thank you very much for the call. Is that as this season is worn on, that they could not make Kyle Schwarber untouchable. And I don't think they're not dealing him now. I mean, you know, now somebody's going to say, well, call the Tigers back. They wanted Schwarber plus for Fulmer. That's not going to happen. But I think that, you know, the bottom line is that they've got a lot invested and a lot of belief invested in Schwarber, and that this deal now takes the pressure off to have to move too quickly. Now they're going to comfortably, I would guess, invest the next year and a half to see that he becomes the hitter that I think most of us believe he can be. And then they'll worry down the road about whether he can play left field or where you're going to position him. But I think this worked the way that they wanted it to work. So I'm getting the high sign to take a quick break here, guys. We are going to be bringing some guests in and out. I know that we've got actually every line is lit right now. I think Bryan probably won't mind if we take a call or two with him as well as visit with him. So hang on if you like. We're going to get to everybody as soon as we can. We are talking Cubs Sox all night long. We are talking hopefully World Series on the north side. We're talking hopefully best farm system in baseball on the south side that can lead to a World Series contention in 2, 3, 4 years. Two's probably pushing it. 3, 4 years. And so we want to hear from you about it. 312-644-6767 when a line opens up. We take this quick commercial break, and then we're back with more here at 670 The Score, 670thescore.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome, everybody. Let me try that again. Welcome back, everybody. Trying to say three things at once never works. That was Rick Hahn talking earlier today about what the White Sox are trying to accomplish. We will have the full visit with both Jed Hoyer and Rick Hahn for you this evening. We'll probably play Jed at 7 and Rick at 8 or vice versa. Doesn't matter to me if Cubs or Sox go first. We want to get them both for you. This hour on The Score is brought to you by Lake Forest Graduate School. Visit lakeforestmba.edu for their upcoming open house. And I also need to tell you that the Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by Jersey Mike's Subs. Well, the Cubs and Sox made a pretty big trade today. I guess that was the schedule, since they will not play again until tomorrow. But early this morning announced the trade that sends Jose Quintana to the Chicago Cubs in exchange for Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, and two other prospects. Both sides seem pretty happy. That's today's Chicago baseball schedule, brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Want to win a rockin' trip from New Jersey Mike's and Pepsi? Stop in Jersey Mike's today to enter. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends August 14th. See official rules at PepsiRockThisWay.com. And as promised, we have a lineup of guests tonight that know everything there is to know about the Chicago White Sox and Chicago Cubs farm systems, major league clubs, this deal. And we're going to start it off with Bryan Billick, who is from Future Sox. And Bryan probably is as good an expert on the Sox farm system as you're going to find. And we welcome you to the program tonight, Bryan. And let me start by asking you, did you see this one coming?
Well, thanks for having me, Hub, first off. And there were some inklings going on, specifically last night. I'd heard they had been talking, but the talks had stalled. But last night at about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, Dylan Cease was pulled from his start. And, you know, he's just a few hours from the start, and he was pulled from his start last week as well. And then later on in the night, the Myrtle Beach lineup came out, and Eloy Jimenez was not in it after two consecutive off days. So I tweeted out that it was a little bit weird whether, you know, it was a deal that was with the Sox or anyone else. It seemed as if the Cubs were up to something.
Bryan, it's pretty clear that the final deal is never where you end up. The final deal is never where you started. And Rick Hahn did confirm this morning on the air here that there were other names, other players bandied about. Obviously, the Cubs' mission was always to get Jose Quintana. Can't confirm this, but it suggests to me that the Cubs probably attempted to do this deal without including Jimenez, or best case, once Jimenez was in, without having to include Cease as well. Have you heard any rumblings about, you know, what other attempts that Rick Hahn might have said no to before they finally arrived at this package?
Well, the name that I heard was Kyle Schwarber. But, you know, when I heard that, it came with the caveat that Rick Hahn wanted Eloy Jimenez. The Cubs weren't budging on Eloy Jimenez, and it didn't really seem like it was going to go anywhere. Of course, it seems that the Cubs eventually budged on Eloy Jimenez, and Rick Hahn got his guy. And when you're trading a guy like Jose Quintana, who has the track record that he has and has the value in the contract that he has, you're going to want a big headliner, and I think getting a top-10 prospect in all of baseball was exactly what the White Sox are looking for.
So considering that it was a non-starter without Jimenez and that they got their guy, were you pleasantly surprised that they were able to get the Cubs to include Cease as well?
Well, I definitely thought there would be two prospects that are noteworthy. I mean, give or take the top 100 prospect list. You know, I think a lot of people were expecting a package of three, four notable prospects. You know, I knew the back end of the deal would be a little weaker, and frankly, what the White Sox got in return from the Cubs was even a little bit weaker than I expected. But, you know, I think of all the names that were bandied about, whether it was with the Cubs or the Brewers or the Yankees or the other teams involved, you know, Jimenez was really the top prospect out there, and I think a lot of people kind of ruled out the possibility of the White Sox getting him. And like I said before, I think he was exactly the type of player that the White Sox were looking for, and a guy that they could, you know, project to be in the middle of their lineup for a long time.
Visiting with Brian Billick from Future Sox, and Brian, you do this for a living. You cover prospects. One of the things that I try and discuss rationally with fans, sometimes that's hard, is coming to the reality that you need to get all these prospects to eventually get better. Having 9 of the top 100 prospects, depending on whose rating system you believe, is a great thing for the Chicago White Sox. But fans need to realize that it's very rare for these top prospects to hit at the rate that these Cubs kids have hit in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, basically, every one of their top 100 prospects has made it. That doesn't happen all that often. What is the realistic hope here? I mean, as to, you know, a lot of kids, they'll all get to the big club eventually, but in terms of becoming significant everyday contributors, what do you hope to hit? 350, 450, 600? How does this supposed to work out for the Sox now?
Well, I mean, you're 100% right. It's very rare to see a team come through with so many top prospects like the Cubs had and convert on all of them. And even the one guy that didn't work out in Soler, they were able to trade him for another piece. And I think what the White Sox had when they started this, they officially started it when they traded Chris Sale. You know, then they traded Adam Eaton, and they didn't do much in the offseason. But the rhetoric coming out of the offices on 35th Street was always, you know, a critical mass. That's the way Rick Hahn put it. You want a critical mass of prospects. And especially thinking about, you know, how the Sox have so many pitchers in that top 100 list. You know, the attrition rate's even more significant for pitchers than it is for the position players. But I think the Sox are getting to a point where, you know, they have some guys in the teens of their rankings that would be in the top five prospects of other teams. I mean, the guys that aren't getting any limelight now because the White Sox have, you know, however many 3, 4, 5 guys in the top 50, you know, those guys are still good prospects who would be, you know, featured on other teams. So you're 100% right. You know, it's not going to work as smoothly as the Cubs, and I don't think there's any precedent away from the Cubs. But that being said, you know, the Sox got a great start here. They have as good a farm system as anybody, and they still got a few more major league pieces here to ship off and add to it.
You know, Brian, it's pretty clear that Rick Hahn knows what he's doing here. I mean, he got everything you would hope, if not better, in the Chris Sale and the Jose Quintana trades, and I still can't believe he got what he got for Adam Eaton. And then you turn around and you look at Theo and what he's managed to pull off, going all the way back to Jake Arrieta and Addison Russell and some of the deals he's made. It's almost like you've got Joe DiMaggio trading against Mickey Mantle here. How are these two guys viewed around the league? Are they pretty much at the top of their game as far as evaluators and roster builders in Major League Baseball right now?
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, right when the trade happened, I talked to someone, and the comment was, smart people make smart moves. And, you know, to speak about Theo Epstein, you know, no disrespect to Rick Hahn, I mean, Theo Epstein might be the best executive not only in baseball history, but, you know, in all of sports history, considering what he did with the Cubs and the Red Sox and, you know, their droughts. But, I mean, Rick Hahn, you know, they soured on him on the South side a little bit as the team struggled and after, you know, they did their mini rebuild after 2013. And obviously things didn't work out for him the last few times they've tried to compete. But, you know, I've always been a fan of the way he negotiates, and I've always been a fan of the moves he makes at the time. You know, they were a little bit snake bitten on free agents for a while. But, you know, when you look at what the White Sox have been able to do in rebuilding with Chris Sale and Adam Eaton and Jose Quintana and trading these guys, you know, they wouldn't have been able to do this if Rick Hahn wasn't able to sign these guys to the cost-effective contracts that they were on. I mean, not only are Chris Sale and Adam Eaton and Jose Quintana very valuable players for what they do, you know, on the field, they're incredibly valuable assets on the balance sheet for how little they're being paid for the amount of production that they return.
Ryan, obviously there is a ton of excitement today on the South Side with these two, four new, but specifically the top two prospects in this deal, Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease. Update Sox fans, if you will, on how some of the other kids are doing. I think everybody, you know, all you got to do is pay attention. You know what Yoan Moncada is doing. But what about some of these other top prospects in the Sox system? Who appears to be moving the quickest?
I mean, I think Moncada has a good shot of making it up to the roster by the end of July. You know, past him, I would have said Zach Birdie. He was in Chicago today for an MRI. We'll be waiting for the results on that one as he left with an arm injury. But other than that, it's Reynaldo Lopez and Lucas Giolito. Lucas Giolito had a rough start to the year. But, you know, over the last couple months, both of them have been very impressive. The White Sox certainly have a hole in their rotation now that they have traded Quintana. But I don't think the White Sox have much urgency to get these guys to the big leagues. I mean, they've said it in the offseason over and over again, the word that they kept circling back to was patience. I think they want to take their time developing these guys, and they want to make sure these guys have really worked out all the little kinks, and when they get up to the major league level, you know, they don't have to sweat the little things, and they could work with the pitchers and you know, just go out there and throw and not have to worry about, you know, mechanical changes and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's a lot of guys in the lower system now in A-ball that, you know, Alec Hansen and Dane Dunning, both draft picks from last year. Dunning came over in the Eaton trade. Both of these guys are really really lighting it up and surprising some people, and these are guys that are going to end up on you know, the back end of top 100 prospect lists. So, you know, as we talked about earlier, if some of these guys don't work out, it seems in every scenario, especially on the pitching side, there's someone behind them chomping at the bit to take their spot.
Ryan, I do appreciate the time tonight. We are up against it. Going to have to jump out here for a scoreboard update, but thank you so much for joining us. And I got a hunch we're going to be checking back pretty regularly now because you're covering, again, if not the best, certainly one of the two or three best farm systems in baseball.
Sure thing, Hope. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Brian Billick from Future Sox. We are now going to take a quick break to jump into the update studio where I believe Julie DeCaro is going to join us. Julie, thank you very much. I am Hub Arkish. Going to be with you until 10 o'clock tonight. And, you know, guys, anytime I'm here, I love talking football with you, any sports for that matter. So if you're going to talk, if you want to talk, I should say, Bears, NFL, feel free. We're not saying you can't, but we're going to be pretty much focusing on the Cubs-Sox deal today on where these two teams are headed right now. Phone number is 312-644-6767. Lines were jammed. We brought in a guest. Everybody dropped off. That does tend to happen. But call us back now because no more guests for a while. Want to hear your thoughts on the trade. 312-644-6767. Got a ton of stuff on the text line here. As usual, about 80-90% of it is worth talking about, and we will get to that as soon as we can. The name callers might as well save their time and their data. That's okay. Again, 312-644-6767. And we are now going to go to Bill, who is on the phone in his car. Bill, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, but I have to kind of kill the love fest. Two quick points. One, this comes to you from a 32-year-long season ticket holder for the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I recently read that only 20% of even first-round Major League Baseball picks get more than a cup of coffee in the Major League. So when you put that together, though it sounds great to get a, quote, hall of prospects, I'll bet you out of these top five prospects, only one of them ever gets more than a cup of coffee. It's a terrible trade for the Sox. Quintana has the best contract in baseball. And if it was Schwarber for Quintana, that's a win-win. He should be in the American League. He'd put fannies in the seats at the cell, or whatever we call it nowadays. But I'm here to say this was a terrible trade for the White Sox.
Well, Bill, you know, A, clearly you're entitled to your opinion, and B, we do respect it. I don't think you're going to find a lot of people are going to agree with you on it. You're actually echoing a point I made a few minutes ago that the hit rate on these prospects is not high, but you know, you're kind of mixing apples and oranges, because when you say 20% of the first rounders make it, that may very well be right. We're not talking about first rounders. We're talking about players who are currently rated amongst the top 100 prospects, top 50 prospects, top 10 prospects in baseball. The Sox have two of the top 10 prospects in baseball now in Yoan Moncada and Eloy Jimenez, and those guys have a much higher hit rate than 20%. Now, the flip side of it is it's not 100%, so I get where you're coming from. But to say that the Sox should have kept Quintana, to do what? I mean, they're rebuilding the ball club. What were they going to accomplish by not getting something in return for him?
I agree. Trading him makes sense. He's the best trade bait in Major League Baseball. But if you're going to get prospects, you need to get at least one real major leaguer in return.
All right, now I know where you're going, because I have heard some of that today. Thank you so much for the call. It's interesting, though. The guy you want is Kyle Schwarber. And listen, I still think Kyle Schwarber is going to be a top-flight professional hitter. I still think the hopes of a 330 and 100 slash line are very realistic in spite of what happened first half of this season. But you're actually saying that instead of, depending on who you listen to, the fifth or eighth best prospect in minor league baseball, you wanted the guy who's hitting 170 right now and really struggling, and quite frankly has never hit higher than 243. His rookie year, he played, 60-some games, hit 243. He's got tremendous power. I love the kid. But I think you're going to find minimally 50-50 people who prefer Jimenez to Schwarber. And we'll hear as the night goes on from other Sox fans how they feel about it. Let's get to another one. Harry is in his car. Actually, Harry, I apologize. I don't know if you are a Sox fan, but it's good to hear from you. How you doing?
Hi, Hub. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, I am a huge Sox fan. I reside in Florida, but I'm up here visiting family back in my hometown.
Okay.
It's ironic. I work for a major mechanical industry down in Florida, and I'm very good friends with a former major leaguer, Roberto Hernandez. He comes to my shop quite often. And we were having these conversations, you know, in the earlier part of the year. And he predicted that Sale was going to go, and then he was talking about Quintana being a frontline starter for the White Sox. And he also mentioned that it would be a good idea to let him go because they would get additional prospects. So everything he's basically said, you know, we're seeing starting to come to fruition. In my opinion, they're an exciting ball club. They never give up. They've got quite a few wins that they came from behind on. And I don't see any reason, Hub, why they should not bring up some of the prospects. I know they have the, you know, the theory of don't rush them, don't rush them, don't rush them. But like Lucas Giolito, there's no reason why the kid can't come up and play in the big leagues now and give him an opportunity to see what he can do, considering he's already pitched, you know, with Washington. You know, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, Harry, I understand where you're coming from, but there actually is a very good reason not to rush him. And you know what they say about those of us who don't learn from history? Many top prospects have been rushed too soon, developed bad habits, never been able to overcome them. You don't want to encourage failure. And if a kid is not ready and he's not done developing, to bring him up anyway and let him struggle, you know, every once in a while it works, but more often than not, you can see that it causes problems. These kids end up getting traded a year or two later. Sometimes they re-blossom elsewhere. But I do think it's critical that you give them the appropriate amount of time. Now, obviously, I'm not the judge of what the appropriate amount of time is. So I don't think you want to rush them at all. I don't think you accomplish anything by doing that.
I'm talking about spot starts. Bring them up for a game. Maybe let them sit in the bullpen. Get a feel for the big leagues and see what can happen.
You know, Harry, I can't really, and thank you very much for the call. I think they're better off being in a regular professional baseball routine. If they're a starter, leave them at you know, double A, triple A, wherever they are right now. And a lot of these kids aren't even ready for that yet. Let them pitch every fifth day. Let them get into their off day routine. Let them have some success. Determine when their, you know, mechanics are consistent enough. If we're talking about pitchers, as far as hitters, you clearly want them playing every day, and you don't want to rush a position player. And obviously now we're talking about Yoan Moncada. Remember, he came up with Boston, and it went terribly. Now, they knew he wasn't ready, and they're not worried about it. I think it was a 20-some game. I don't even know if it was 20 games. It might have been 18 games. But he barely hit over 100, and that was okay. It was just the first crack at it. But you don't want to do that a second time. And when things are going well in the minors, you don't want to bring him up here to struggle and look lousy. and then have to send him back down again, knowing now that he's failed and have to battle that aspect of it mentally. So I don't see any advantage to getting these kids up there until they're ready to play. If it's a starting pitcher, you want them ready to take the ball every fifth day. If it's a position player, you want them ready to play every day. That's what the Cubs are struggling with right now with Victor Caratini, who they like a lot. You know, everybody's talking about him as a number two. He's one of the top catching prospects in baseball, and they're hoping he'd have to be their number two because Contreras is better, at least now. And we're going to replay the interview for you in a little while. Jed Hoyer talked today about the concern about having Caratini up here if he's not going to get enough at bats. So you really do need to leave these kids in the minors until they're ready to come up and earn their playing time on a regular basis. Let's take one more before we break. Going to be Bob in Joliet. Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Hub, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, here's what I see that came out of it. The Cubs just picked up 3.5 years of a great pitcher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're losing Lackey at the end of the year. So if you go that way, we've picked up 3 full years on a pitching contract. And the White Sox, I think they're getting, you know, four good prospects. Now, let's just say even one of them turns out to be very well. Well, I think it's a very good trade for the White Sox because they're trying to put some youth in their situation. And here they've got four, I think, very good opportunities to add to their farm system. And hopefully, you know, I mean, if they get two guys that come up to the big leagues out of this, that's even a bigger deal for them.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, what we're doing is we're just coming up with different ways to describe this process of rebuilding, this process that Theo and Jed and Jason McLeod took the Cubs through over the last 5 years that culminated in that World Series last year. It's what the White Sox and Rick Hahn have clearly committed to, and that's why this makes sense for both sides. I know usually when deals like this happen, everybody wants to look at it and say, well, somebody won, somebody lost. You know, if you can go back to Yoan Moncada, who is the number one prospect in Major League Baseball right now, that's great. But let's not forget that Chris Sale just started an All-Star game after pitching for the Boston Red Sox. So, you know, we got a ways to go to figure out who did better in that deal. So you look at this deal, it's going to be the same thing. You know, we'll see a year from now how Quintana is pitching for the Cubs. We'll see how close some of these prospects are. But on balance, we're going to keep coming. I shouldn't say we're going to. So far, we are coming back to the same place that I think people have been at all day. Looks pretty good for both sides. It's pretty hard to be unhappy. I know as a Cubs fan, I didn't want to see any of the kids go. But looking at what this deal is now, I'm trying to decide if I'd be more comfortable with if it had been Schwarber instead of Jimenez, which is a stretch because obviously we know some of what Kyle Schwarber can do and we don't know about Jimenez. It does bother me that they gave up, you know, one of the top 10 prospects in baseball if they could have possibly made the deal and not done it, although it appears that they couldn't have. From the White Sox perspective, though, I think Rick Hahn got more than most expected him to. There's been some talk. I talked about it on TV last night on the Comcast Sports Talk Live show. And the panel, I think we all agreed, the perception that maybe the Sox were going to wait on Q because they could get more this offseason than they were going to get right now. I don't think there was any point where the Sox were going to get more than what they got today. And so from a Sox perspective, I have no regrets. I'm 100% in. From the Cubs perspective, I have no regrets. I'm just kind of 95, 96% in because I can't make up my mind if I'd be feeling better if it was Schwarber and Jimenez is still there. And again, I can't say this often enough. Love Kyle Schwarber. Don't want to see him go. Think he's going to work his way out of this. But when he becomes the player I think he's going to be, I think he's still going to be a defensive liability. One thing we don't know, and we're going to find out, you heard Rick Hahn say today, they think he can develop into a dependable corner outfielder. I don't know if the word was dependable. We'll listen for that when we replay the interview. But nobody is raving about his defense. He does appear to be a little more solid in the outfield than Schwarber is at any of the positions they expect him to play. Guys, we've got to take a quick commercial break. Before we do, I want to tell you the Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by Presence Health. The Cubs and Sox, of course, well, they weren't
idle today. They weren't on the field, but made one of the biggest trades in years. You probably got to go back to John Garland for Sammy Sosa. They weren't the only guys in the deal, but they were the principals. This one kind of resembles that. This time you've got the pitcher coming north and the everyday player going south. We know how that one worked out. We'll see how this one does. That's today's Chicago baseball schedule brought to you by Presence Health. The school year is almost here, and it's time for your child's yearly physical. Presence Health offers plenty of locations near you. Visit presencehealth.org/docs to schedule an appointment today. We are back with more of your calls here at 6HeavyTheScore, 6HeavyTheScore.com in just a moment.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Hub Arkush, going to be with you until 10 o'clock this evening, and I have a number of people on the text line correcting me for something that I thought I agreed with you on, but I was corrected earlier. A lot of folks out there are saying that Sammy Sosa was not in the John Garland trade, that it was a George Bell deal. I didn't think that. I thought Garland was a pitcher-for-pitcher deal. We'll check that out for you, guys, because I've got conflicting notes here. I'm not saying that you guys who are texting are wrong, but we're going to get it straight for you in just a few minutes. Right now, we're going to get right back to the phone lines and go to Grays Lake, where Brian is on the line. Brian, thank you for calling. How you doing today?
Good. How about yourself?
Good, thanks.
You know, I just kind of wanted to offer my opinion on the trade. You know, I'm personally a big fan of it. I'm all in for Hans rebuilding. I mean, if you look at the top 100 prospects list, we got 9 of the top 100, five of which are in the top 30. I mean, I'm all in for this trade. And, you know, it's tough to see Quintana go. He's been one of the most consistent pitchers, you know, frankly, in the league. But, you know, overall, I think the White Sox got the good end of this deal.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. I think that the White Sox did fine. I'm not sure if there is a winner or will be a winner. I think the hope is that both teams did well and got what they wanted. But we just got to vote for the Sox as a winner there. Let's get to Mike, who is in Calumet City. Mike, what are you thinking about the deal?
Yeah, Herb, I think both teams won, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Cubs getting Sutcliffe back in from Cleveland a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
where he went 16-1 or something like that.
Yeah, he went 16-1, but you do remember who they gave up for him, don't you?
Mel Hall and...
And Joe Carter, who won
right.
more World Series yeah, than Rick Sutcliffe did. Yeah, so I'm not sure the Cubs won that one, but maybe...
I think they did. Sutcliffe did pretty good.
Well, yeah, but the Cubs didn't win any. They won a lot of games. I think maybe the bigger point, though, because this is what we've been talking about, is obviously it worked out pretty well for both, okay? Because Joe Carter, I mean, his better years actually were when he went to Toronto. But Rick Sutcliffe won a Cy Young Award and was the best. He had one of the best single seasons for any pitcher in the history of the game, and he did go on to pitch well for the Cubs for a number of years after that. So this may be an example of a deal like that.
I sure also.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's get to Brendan, who's on the north side. So I don't know if that means you're a Cubs fan, Brendan, but you're on the north side. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Hop? How you doing today?
Good.
So I'm a north side Sox fan, and in economic terms, I like to think of this as a zero-sum game. So I think both teams won. And it's kind of cool being from Chicago, being from north side, and seeing that both teams, you know, trade with each other. So I think it's a win for both, and I think there is no losers, and only good teams are going to come out of it. So zero-sum game, and I think it's great for both teams.
You know, Brendan, it's interesting. Let me ask you, because we've been hearing a lot about this really for the last year or so, but especially today, this idea of the Cubs and the Sox not wanting to trade with each other for concern about helping each other. I don't think that there's ever been a concern from either team about helping each other. I think the fear of dealing is in quote, losing the trade. You know, I think, and you know, this is where I started, and I got corrected, and now we're back to it. It was Matt Karchner for John Garland, and it was Sammy Sosa for George Bell. But you look at that deal and the Sosa-Bell deal, obviously the Cubs were a big winner. You know,
right.
the Garland-Karchner deal, I think you'd have to say the Sox were a winner, not as big a winner as Sosa. You know, that probably is the concern. You know, fans just want to win. But I think if there is somebody in one of these organizations who would worry about it, they probably would worry more about losing to the other team, not so much that they might help the other team.
I mean, I agree with you with that. But, I mean, you're on different spectrums. The Sox are in a complete rebuild, and you got the Cubs coming off the World Series. I mean, a couple of years ago, I would say yes, but right now, I mean, it's the opposite end here. There is no losing team on. I mean, the Cubs needed a pitcher. They got one, and the Sox just need to add as many prospects as possible, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. For me, anyways, I think there is no losers. There's only winners, and I think it's cool for the city of Chicago.
Brendan, thank you for the phone call. I do appreciate it. You know, guys, summer's here, and that's a perfect time to upgrade your ride. If you're considering a new set of wheels this year, there's a smart, easy way to get rid of that old car or boat in your garage, and it can be rewarding, too. Donate that car or boat to Cars for Kids. As anyone who sold a car recently can tell you, selling is a hassle you don't want to deal with, from fielding the calls, texts, and emails from potential buyers to arranging meetings with the shady and unsavory characters who come your way. Skip the headache and call Cars for Kids to pick up your vehicle. You'll love how simple and easy the donation process is, and you'll even get a tax-deductible receipt and hotel voucher for your next vacation. Here's your chance to get away while the weather is still nice, so call now to donate. You know the number, 1-877-KARS-4KIDS. 1-877-KARS, the number 4-KIDS. That's Cars with a K, or go to carsforkids.com. They're reliable, and your car can be picked up within 24 to 48 hours, whenever works for you. Call now to donate your car, truck, van, or boat today. Again, that's 877-KARS, the number 4-KIDS, or donate online at carsforkids.com. Let's get one more call before we have to break. Going to be Dave in Woodridge. Dave, how you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I was just trying to think about, you know, comparing this deal for the Cubs with what Hendry did when the Cubs were contending under him. And I had some concern about it earlier today, but then I realized, you know, the big difference was that Hendry, when they didn't finish the deal and win the World Series, he left them with a lot of really bad contracts that it took them years to shed and rebuild from. But that's not at all the situation that the Cubs are in now. I mean, they might have.
Dave, I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you because I'm not sure what we're talking about here. You're comparing it to something that Hendry did. What, are you talking about a deal that Hendry made? Or
No, I'm just talking about, you know, the Cubs, the Hendry, you know, A, signed a lot of really heavy contracts, which is not right. What the Cubs are doing here, but he also depleted the farm system and, you know, left the Cubs with a terrible farm system and a ton of bad contracts. And, you know, that's not at all what's happening here. I mean, you know, the Cubs have depleted their farm system somewhat.
Dave, the reason they've depleted the farm system is because they got a bunch of 23 and 24 year old kids playing with the World Series champions. I mean,
I agree.
Yeah.
The conclusion that I reached after some soul searching earlier today was that this, you know, is still a good deal for the Cubs, and the Cubs are still in a good position. I just was comparing it to a, you know, something that another regime did historically with the Cubs, and, you know, I think, you know, what the Cubs did today, you know, they're still in a far better position, you know, even though their farm system is going to be a little bit leaner now.
All right, Dave, thank you much for the call. Guys, I'm going to be a minute or two late to the update, but Richard's hanging from San Francisco, and we are going to play the Rick Hahn interview on the other side of this the scoreboard update. So I want to get Richard in good enough to call us all the way from California. Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing good.
Good. Go ahead. What do you got in your mind?
I like to trade as a Cubs fan, and I like the Sox too. But I don't like them giving us. I think that's a mistake because they're trying to build a pitching staff, and I don't think they should have thrown in a pitcher.
Well, you know, Richard, I appreciate the call, and I understand what you're saying, but here's the bottom line. Without Dylan Cease, the trade doesn't get made. I mean, you know, the White Sox were looking for some team's top two prospects. We've known that for months now. They hadn't gotten the package they wanted. And the Sox were not going to make this deal without Dylan Cease. Clearly, Eloy Jimenez was the key figure in the deal. But they weren't going to take just a minute. The other two kids, are there's a good chance they don't become major league players. I mean, I don't mean to criticize them. They're 24 and 22-year-olds. But they're not special players. You know, in this case, Dylan Cease is a top pitching prospect in minor league baseball. The Sox were in a command, two top prospects. That was the price of Jose Quintana. So you're the first guy I can adamantly disagree with. The Cubs didn't give up too much. This is what it was going to take to get what they wanted. And in that regard, that's why I think so many people are saying win-win. So here's what we're going to do, guys. Got to take a quick commercial break and get a scoreboard update with Julie DeCaro. On the other side, Rick Hahn came on, visited for about 20 minutes or so today with Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes. I found it fascinating listening. I was in the car. I know a lot of you might have been at work. You might not have heard it. So right coming up next, after our scoreboard update, you will hear what Rick Hahn, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, thinks about the big trade today between the Cubs and the Sox. That's next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.